interesting experience. You meet fascinating people with fascinating stories. But this time it's been a bit special. For me personally, it's been a bit special. And the reason it's been a bit special is I've met somebody and got to know them who comes from my home county, who comes from Dorset. Yeah, I know you laugh, but you don't meet many of them. See, nestled between Hampshire and Devon, Dorset's almost a forgotten county. Yeah, its main industries are agriculture and tourism. We don't have a motorway. With Bournemouth no longer in the Premier League, we don't have any sporting prowess at all. And unless you count the upgraded college that Bournemouth calls itself, the university, there's no university either. And even more than that, if you were born before 1974, you wouldn't recognise that Bournemouth was even in Dorset anyway, because it was only the boundary changes on the 1st of April 1974 that brought it from Hampshire into Dorset. So it doesn't have much to offer. It's a quiet, unassuming place where not a lot happens. If you were looking for something significant, you'd struggle, except perhaps for the two people who share the same name, Thomas Hardy. One an author, the other an admiral. Apart from that, it's a pretty out-of-the-way place. It's a bit like Bethlehem is in first century Israel. Bethlehem is a village on the side of a big city. It's an out-of-the-way place. And yet God comes there. I'm not sure about you, but it always interests me that God seems to come to the most insignificant places and to the most insignificant people. He comes to bless those that we'd miss if we blinked. And there's a whole tradition of this running through the scriptures. He comes to Gideon, who is the weakest and the youngest in his family. He comes to Saul, who's described as the least of those in Israel. He comes to David, who is the youngest son of Jesse. And when he comes in person, he comes as a baby. And he comes to Bethlehem. The Christmas story is all about God coming to places and to people who would ask the question, who am I that God would bother with me? The passage in Matthew 5 is a classic Christmas passage. We read it most years. It comes out pretty much every carol service and nativity service. Now, Micah's a prophet, and as I mentioned last week, he starts speaking in Judah at the time of Hezekiah. It's a very difficult time in Israel's life. Up on the north, or Judah's life actually, but on the north of their borders, there's an immense Assyrian army looking to invade them. But this is a time of fear and trepidation. It's a time filled with anxiety about what's going to happen. Seem familiar? May not be an army or a superpower massing on our borders, but Omicron, the Omicron variant of the coronavirus, is certainly causing fear and anxiety, and rightly so. With all that's happening on the borders of Judah, it's no surprise that Micah opens with a call, marshal your troops, prepare, get yourself ready. Now, two things are going on here. Right at the very beginning, we missed the first verse. That's my fault. I started the reading at verse 2. But if you read verse 1, it speaks about marshal your troops and about how the king's going to be hit in the face with a rod, a symbol of authority. In other words, the king's authority is going to be taken away. You slap someone in the cheek, on the cheek in biblical times, it means that you are, they are subservient to you. This is a comment on the government of the time. Now, this is not the place to, certainly I don't feel it's the place to make a comment on our government. However, Omicron has been a slap in the face. Just when we thought we were getting over this pandemic, it comes with a new sense of authority that has stripped everything around us. In Micah's time, just as now, it's a time of fear and anxiety. And Michael speaks to the people and says, look, your God is coming to you. He's aware of your predicament. He is coming to you, but he's not coming to the place where you would expect him to come. He's not coming through the usual channels. He's coming to Bethlehem. Now, if you live in Jerusalem, you can almost imagine the Bethlehem. It's only just outside the city, but it's pretty insignificant. After all, if you live in Jerusalem, you live in the shadow of the temple, the symbol that God is present amongst you. If you live in Jerusalem, you live in the shadow of the palace. The king is here. Bethlehem, an insignificant village on the outskirts of the major city. And God comes there. He comes to them first. Who am I that God would come to me? Just that very question indicates that God will come. This passage we read from Luke's gospel reflects the same theme. Not simply God coming to a small village, but God coming and blessing two seemingly insignificant individuals. The story we've read is often referred to as the Annunciation, the announcement of the coming of Christ, the imminence of God coming. Notice that it's made to Mary, and it's recognized by her cousin Elizabeth. And these two ladies share something in common. They're surprised that God would come to them. When the angel, the messenger, comes to Mary and says, greetings, highly favored, the Lord is with you. Her first response is, how will this be? Mary's initial reaction is one of confusion and disbelief. It's a, who, me? This is not a confident response. It's a response of the person who can see the difficulties of what the messenger's saying, the angel's saying, and is concerned about them. I wonder if ever we've been asked to do something and we said, who, me? You want me to do this? Surely it's someone more qualified than me. Surely there are better people, gifted people, who could do this, and yet in reality, God wants us to do it. So it will be a blessing to us and to others. But as the messenger unpacks how and why for Mary, Mary begins to show her true colors. Look at her reply. She says, I am the Lord's servant. May your word be fulfilled. This is the key to unlocking the blessing of God. It's a key to unlocking his favor. Mary's response, I am the Lord's servant. May your word be fulfilled. The key is humility, of acceptance. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answers. A modest, low opinion of herself. She doesn't see herself as deserving the attention of God. Certainly not the task of bearing him into the world. And yet when the messenger comes, she accepts her calling. May your word be fulfilled in me. I do wonder sometimes whether we always want something more. We're not content with what the Lord has called us to do. Not content with the position, the task that he has called us to fulfill. I wonder if we were to be willing to accept our calling. I wonder whether God might bless us more by simply fulfilling the role that he calls us to, that we fit well in. Now, throughout the Bible, humility is a valued commodity. God prizes it and rewards those who demonstrate it with a blessing. So see the story unfold. Mary goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth, and Elizabeth's response to Mary is similar to Mary's response to the angelic messenger. Why? Why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord would come to me? And of course, the obvious answer, you're my cousin. Why wouldn't I want to come and visit you? But there's more to this going on. Why do you come here? There's something different about this visit, something that causes Elizabeth's baby to leap with joy within her. There's something in asking the question that reveals that Elizabeth senses the significance of this visit, that God has come here with Mary. Hence the question, why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord would come to me? And having asked the question, Elizabeth offers a threefold blessing. She blesses herself, blessed are you among women. She then blesses the child that she will bear. And then she finally says, blessed is she who believes that the Lord's will is fulfilled in a promise to her. First blessing is in some ways obvious. Elizabeth is blessing of Mary. We find a blessing given to someone who God has chosen to be blessed. That humility of accepting God has given, as accepted the task that God has given to undertake. The second blessing is interesting, and it opens up a whole new conversation, which we don't have time or place to go into today, but it just opens that conversation about bestowing a blessing on a yet unborn child. Blessed is the child you will bear. I wonder where that might lead us if we were to look at that sort of blessing. The third blessing is equally nuanced. In some ways, it's lost in the translation, because blessed is she who believed that the Lord would fulfill her promises to her. We might get the impression that it is back to Mary again. Blessed are you who in God who's fulfilled. But actually, the language there is plural. It's in the third person, whereas in verse 42, it's in the first person. It's blessed are you, is blessed are you's here, or blessed is she's here. Might be blessed is the translation of the woman who believes that the Lord will fulfill the promises within you. And it is Luke inviting us into that blessing. The reader, us, blessed are you. Blessed are is the woman, blessed are you. Moves from an exchange between Elizabeth and Mary to a blessing of those who seek out God. And so God answers the question, who am I that God would come to me and bless me? Who am I that anyone would care for me? Here in this passage, these passages in Micah 5 and in Luke 1, we have the answer. God cares. God comes. He comes into the midst of our anxieties and fears. He doesn't care how much or how little we do for our lives. He loves us for who we are. And because we have need of him. And when he comes, he doesn't come alone. Because when God comes to us, he brings a blessing with him. It leaves me wondering, In the midst of the fear and anxiety that is surrounding us at the moment, the fear and anxiety over Omicron, I wonder if this Advent message that God comes is very poignant for today. This question, who am I that God would bless me, is the reality. The answer is that God would come, because asking that question is exactly the premise that he needs. That humility, that sense of, wow, God would come to me. And it leaves me wondering if we allow God to come to us over this Advent, this Christmas, if we allow him to bring with him and his blessing and to bless us, if we take that blessing and pass it on, I wonder how it might change us and the situations we find ourselves in. Amen.